Saints, today will be more of a reminder or a pondering with you, not so much a teaching. And let me get there. So let's pray first. Heavenly Father, Lord, Creator, glorious God, mighty, you are everything, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life, God. And thank you for, Father, giving us your Son, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the comfort that you always provide, God. Thank you for your peace, God. Your life that lives and breathes through us, Lord God. God, speak to us through your word, Lord. Build us up, God. Build my brothers and sisters up, God, to just go forward through the rest of the day and throughout this week, God, strong in you, Lord. God, may they just sense you in a different way, Lord. They feel comfort just by your presence, God. Bring them closer to your heart, Lord, that they just may know you more. That's our prayer, Lord Jesus. Help us to be obedient to your word, Lord God. Help us to live lives that are pleasing to you, God. We thank you, Lord, for just another day to be with you, God. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so a few weeks ago, Pastor Brian was teaching in Revelation chapter 19. And if you recall, remember when he talked about the righteousness of the saints wearing those garments? Do you guys remember that? No, it's probably like 3 weeks ago or so. But after that, we had an open sharing time, and I brought up a point how, in regards to the righteousness of the saints, that oftentimes when we think of righteousness, we think of things that we no longer do, right? And that seemed to strike a nerve with some of you, because you, like me, when you think of, man, I need to live righteous, that means I don't need to curse anymore. I don't need to drink. I don't need to get high, right? We start thinking of all of the things that we should not do, and that is living righteous. But we often forget the things that we should be doing. We focus so much more on the things we shouldn't do, and we don't put the attention on the things that we should do. Righteousness is not just about what you don't do. It's also about what you do, your actions. And so since that struck a nerve with you all and that struck a nerve with me, myself, I thought, let's just read through Scripture and see what righteous living looks like. Not just about what we should not be doing, but what we should be doing, how we should be living our lives. So I want us to just have that meditation today, where we think about how we should live. What does righteousness look like in just a practical sense, right? Not just in a spiritual sense. There's one sense where we are spiritually righteous before God. That's a passive type of righteousness. That's something that we get from our faith in Jesus Christ. But there's also this righteous that we live. We live righteously by our actions. And so that's what I want us to focus on. So let's start in Revelation chapter 9. Verse 8, where Pastor Brian left us there, where he touched on. I just want to just refresh your memory here, and then we'll go further. 9:8. Actually, I said 9:19. I don't know why I do that. 19:8. 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. Revelation 19, verse 8. So here, the word of God says, and it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen. He's talking about the church, the bride. This is us. This is saints. It was given her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The righteous acts of the saints. That's what I'm talking about. What are those righteous acts? What do they look like? Because again, oftentimes when we describe righteousness, we describe it in a sense that we no longer do. I even think about when maybe you'll see somebody in the streets. I know in my past life, not past life, but in the past, I mean, I would see somebody and maybe they gave their life to the Lord. And you know how they describe that person? Oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so, guess what? They gave their life to the Lord. They ain't drinking no more. They ain't in them streets no more. They ain't clubbing no more. They ain't doing this no more, right? That's how we describe righteousness. We often describe it in the things that they are no longer doing, right? And that is true. That is righteous. That is righteous, right, to no longer be doing certain sins. But it's not just about the sins that we no longer commit, but it's also about sins that, how do I say it? Let me back it up. You can categorize sins in almost two ways. These terms are not in the scripture, but you will find them there. Sins of omission and sins of commission. You ever heard those terms? Sins of commission are things that we normally describe. We're doing things that we should not do, right? That's a sin. If I'm angrily yelling at my wife, right, in my flesh, or I'm being prideful and boastful, we know that's sin. That's something that we should not do. That's more like a sin of commission. I'm doing things that I should not be doing, right? But there's this other sin, sins of omission. It's different. Sins of omission is when I fail to act when I should be acting. So when I should be doing something righteous in the moment, but I don't do that righteous thing, that's more of a sin of omission because I'm omitting. I'm not doing the act or the action that I should be doing. That's a sin of omission. And a good example of that would be James. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 17. You'll see what I'm getting at here. James chapter 4, verse 17. Because remember, there's sins that things we shouldn't be doing that we do that we need to repent of. But then there's other times of sins where we fail to act when we should be acting. We know what's right. Well, I'll let James speak it to us. Are we here? James chapter 4, verse 17. The word of God says, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do, you know the right thing that you should be doing, this is more active, and does not do it, to him it is sin. It is sin when I'm knowing something that I should be doing, meaning when I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but this is the best example. When I see my brother and sister in need and I have the means to meet that need, but yet I don't, that is sin. See, that's me failing to act when I should act. Not just about the things that I don't do, but when I see certain things that I should respond to and have the ability to respond to and I don't do it, that is also sin. That's living unrighteously. So sin is not just, or living righteously, it's not just about what I'm not doing, but it's also what I am doing when I'm presented with the opportunity. Is that making sense here? Yes. So that's part of living right. That's righteousness, right? It's not just not what I'm not doing, but what am I doing? That's what we want to focus on here. I'm going to give you another example here. Matter of fact, I did something this morning. So this morning I was reading Romans chapter 8. And I was reading Romans chapter 8 with James 4:17 on my mind. How my sins, me killing my flesh, because oftentimes when I think about me denying my flesh and not walking in my flesh, I oftentimes think about things that I should not be doing. Lying, cheating, stealing, all those different things. But when I read James 4:17 and I begin to read Romans 8, it just hit a little different because I begin to think about, oh, he's not just talking about bad actions that I shouldn't be doing when I want to put the deeds of my flesh to death, but he's also talking about when the Spirit of God is telling me to do something, maybe to help somebody, but my flesh is saying, no, don't help somebody. That is also something I need to put to death. It's not just when my flesh is telling me to go do something sinful, but it's also when my flesh is telling me not to do something that God is telling me to do. See, those are also ways and things that we have to are ways we have to put our flesh to death. It's not just the things that we often think it is, of things, oh, I need to watch my mouth. No, it's how am I using my mouth? And I know I'm getting ahead of myself here. But let me go to Romans 8, 12 to 13. I want to show you what I was reading today. And when I read it from a different angle, from this James 4, 17 mindset, it just really flipped the whole meaning of the verses here I was reading. So go with me to Romans 8, verse 12 to 13. Are we here? Romans 8, verse 12 through 13. And look what he says here. He says, so then, brethren, believer, partaker, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must what? Die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will what? You will live. So by the Holy Spirit, we should be putting to death the deeds of the body. And like I said, the deeds of the body are just not those sinful things that we're saying are actions we want to avoid. But killing the deeds of the body, again, is when the Holy Spirit is prompting me to do something good, or God's word calls me to do something good, but my flesh, because of laziness or for whatever reason, is saying, no, don't do it. That is the deed that I need. That is part of the body that I need to put to death. So it's bigger than just, again, the things that I'm saying that are wrong, that we know that are easily sinful, but it's those little things like this that's maybe not as obvious to us. They're like, whoa, wait. The Holy Spirit is saying that I should go do this for this person. The Word of God said I should be looking out for those who are in need, but my flesh is saying, no, you shouldn't do that. You should sit. You should keep it for yourself. Those thoughts, those actions are the things by the Spirit that I have to put to death on a regular, saints. See, that's what it means about living righteously. It's not just what I'm not doing, again, but what I am doing. Those are the deeds that I need to put to the flesh. So when I read Romans 8 from that angle, it really changed the whole meaning of that verse, because when I typically read it, I read it with probably the standard Christian mindset of like, oh, I need to stop saying these bad words, or not stop. I need to stop looking at these sinful things. Like, no, it's more than that. It's way more bigger and expansive. Let me show you another verse here. Go with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37. We're pretty familiar with this verse here. I'm going to read it through, and then I'm going to come back and make some comments. So Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37. We all here? Are we familiar with this scripture here? The Good Samaritan, right? We all know about the Good Samaritan. There's law's name behind this passage here. So let's read 10 to 37. I want you to look at it from a different angle, though. I want to point out something to you. So Jesus, here goes a verse. Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is Jesus, and he's talking to the people, right? A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, and by chance a priest, okay, a holy person here, huh, was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Verse 32, likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. That's two people. But verse 33, but a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, look what he did. He felt compassion, and he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, on the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Verse 36, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Jesus said. Verse 37, and he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. In this passage here of the Good Samaritan, the people in our Christian life that we often focus on or trying not to be is who? The robbers. That's who we focus on. Because we know that we shouldn't be robbing, we shouldn't be stealing, we shouldn't be doing those things. Again, those are the sins that we often focus on, the things that we should not be doing. That's what I'm saying. We love focusing on the robbers here and the thieves, and we know it's wrong to beat somebody, so I don't want to use physical violence on somebody. So I want to make sure I'm not doing those things. I want to make sure I'm not stealing from people. I want to make sure I'm not taking advantage of people. As Christians, we know what not to do. See, what these robbers were doing, they were doing sins of commission. They were doing things that we know you should not do. You should not rob people. You should not beat people and leave them left there half dead. That is a sin of commission. That's doing something that you know you should not do. But we often fail and forget about the people in verse 31 and 32. Guess what type of sin they were committing? Sins of what? Omission. Do you see that? It wasn't about what they didn't do. It was about what they failed to do. See, they weren't living righteously. Why? Because they seen a person there in need, being beaten and bloody and left for dead, and they didn't do the thing that they ought to do, right? That's righteous. See, they didn't live righteous in this moment. Righteousness in this moment is not just not robbing the man and beating him, but righteousness in this moment is also you seeing this person in need, and you have the means and the ability to help them, and you fail to not help them. Now you're living, doing a sin of omission. You're failing to take the action or the act, and that is the sin here. These are the people that we often fail to look at in our own lives. We don't realize how oftentimes we fail to do the right thing. We're so focused on not being the robber. We're so focused on not being the one who beat that we forget we also don't want to be this person either. Where we see unrighteousness in our eyes and we fail to act. Where we see people being taken advantage of and we fail to act. That is a sin, and that is not living righteously, saints. Living righteously is not just what we don't do again. It's what do we do. When you are presented with an opportunity to help and meet somebody's needs, saints, you live righteously by going and meeting that need. That is what it means to live righteously. That is part of what it means to live righteously. It's not just about what you don't do, but what are you doing? And so here you see the one who actually lived righteously was a Samaritan. Why? Because he seen the need. He seen the person in need. He seen that the person needed help. And what did he do? He responded in a right manner. So he is the person here living righteously because he took the right action. So again, I'm saying all of this because I want you to begin to think consciously of how am I living on a day-to-day? Yes, I can go my day-to-day trying to avoid certain things, making sure I watch my tongue, watch my mouth. I can go day-to-day making sure I look at things that are holy and wholesome. See, I can do all of those things to make sure I'm not doing certain things, but what are you actually doing? I know what you're not doing or what you're attempting to not do, but how are you living on a day-to-day? And I began to just do that examination in my own life. I'm like, Jerome, how are you living righteous? Yes, you're not out hanging out doing stuff, but what are you doing with your time, right? Yeah, I know you're not watching the stuff you are doing, but what are you doing with your eyes? How are you using these eyes righteously now? I know you're not using them unrighteously anymore, but how are you using your hands righteously now? I know you're not doing the stuff you used to do, but how are you using them righteously now? See, those are the things we need to really think about and be conscious about on a regular basis. Is how am I living a righteous life on a daily? What am I doing each day? How are my actions righteous and pleasing to God and pleasing in His sight? Those are questions that we should be asking ourselves on a regular basis. So I said all that to say, saints, it matters with our actions and what we do. Because if you think about that verse we read in Revelation, verse 9, they were putting on a garment, right? We often focus on the old garments we're taking off, but again, what is the garments you're putting on? I get the old actions you took off, but what is the thing you're putting on? They were putting on a righteous garment. So we need to focus on what we are putting on and not always just what we are taking off. And some verses that speak to that is Colossians. I want to show you that. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 8 through 14. Is this making sense to everyone?
Yes. All
right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 14. Let's see what Paul has to say about this. And if time permits today, what I want to do at the end is I want us to begin to pray over our eyes. I want us to pray over our feet. I want us to pray over our hands, that we use them in righteousness. And you'll get more of what I mean when we go through these verses here. But that's what I hope to do at the end. So Colossians 3, chapter 8, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 14. We here? All right, starting at verse 8 in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says this, but now you also, I'm going to start in 6 and come down and give you better context. It says, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. So they weren't always holy. They met Jesus, and now they're living differently, right? Look at verse 8. But now you also put them all aside. This is what we like to do, or this is what we focus on, putting certain things aside. So Paul says to take off or put aside anger, right? We should be taking off anger, putting anger aside, right? Wrath, we want to take that off, put it aside. Malice, right? We want to take that off, put it aside. Slander, watching how we use our mouth, that's something that we should be taking off, putting aside as well, right? Abusive speech from your mouth, right? Watch how you're speaking to people. This is people cursing people out and yelling at folks. He's saying you want to put that aside. That's not you anymore. Take that off. That's not something you want to wear, using the clothing analogy. Paul is saying to take off that abusive speech, right? That's something we take off. Look what he says. Do not lie to one another, okay? Since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Now look, now he's going to switch in verse 10 to what you want to put on. So he showed us what we want to take off. Anger, right? That is something as Christians, we want to make sure, we want to take that off. We do not want to live in anger. We do not want to live in wrath. That is something in righteousness you want to throw off. You want to take off. You want to remove those. That's not something you want to walk forward in, right? So he gave us the things that we should be taking off of our life, taking off as like clothing. But now he's going to tell us the things that we should be putting on. He says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So he's saying Christ is really the center. He's eliminated all distinctions here and saying Christ is really your everything. He's your all in all. That's where your renewal starts there. Your renewal and this new self starts with Christ being all in all, him being your center. And then he says in verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, now he's going to tell us what we should put on, right? So we already looked at what we should take off. This is what we should put on. These are the things that we should do. These are the actions in righteousness that we should do. These are the righteous acts of the saints, things that we should do, right? He says, put on a heart of compassion. So in my daily life, I should have compassion in me then, right? He says to put on kindness. So kindness should be part of my daily life. So when I'm being kind, I'm actually operating in righteousness. I'm living righteously when I'm being kind. He says to put on humility, right? When I'm being humble, he says to put on gentleness and patience. These are the things that he's telling me that I need to put on. These are the things that I need to put on in my life. These are the things I need to operate in and actually do. Look what he says in verse 13. Bearing with one another. That means putting up with folks. Not just I'm mad at you because you said this to me, but I'm actually going to put up with you, right? And then he says forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. In verse 14, he says, to beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So here he's showing us the things that we should be putting on. And just go back to these verses. Forget all of the church. Just think about if you apply these two verses in a marriage context. If you put on a heart of compassion, how I treated my wife or my spouse or a woman, how she treated her husband, a heart of compassion, kindness. Can you imagine how far kindness would go in a marriage? If both spouses were actively trying to be kind to one another, this is, again, this is us living righteously, doing actions, being kind to one another. Imagine in a marriage context, humility. Can you imagine that? If the husband and the wife had humility, how there would be less fights if they both actively tried to pursue humility in the marriage, right? Gentleness, patience, just again, a marriage that, I mean, imagine that in a marriage context. If each person was really focused on living righteously in this way, say, I'm going to be humble and kind and have humility and patience, and I'm going to bear with my husband or wife. Imagine they put that on, how the marriage would bloom. So that's just in the marriage context. You can take this and apply this to relationships. Again, these are things that we should be putting on and actively doing in our life. So examine yourself, saints, as you go throughout your day. Not just the things that you're taking off that Paul talked about, but ask yourself, am I putting on kindness? Am I putting on humility? Am I putting on gentleness when I go and I speak to people or when I interact with people? Do I have this gentleness of spirit? Yes, there's a time to be assertive in life. Yes. Yes, there's a time when as parents we have to be strict. But even with my kids, how am I treating them? What righteous acts am I showing them? Am I showing them gentleness? Am I showing them humility? Am I showing this when mommy or daddy does wrong? Do they go and they confess and show their kids how mom and dad does wrong as well? Or do they act like, no, mom and dad never makes mistakes? Do we have that humility even with our kids, right? See, these are all the things that we want to put on and actively do, because when we do that, we are living righteously. This making sense, saints? All right. Let me see. I'm going to give you, I got a ton of verses, but I know time is going, so. Yeah, I'm going to take, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 20 through to 23. As I was telling you earlier, I would like for us to pray over our different body parts, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our heart. And the reason I said that is because of what you'll see here in Matthew chapter 6. I'll just save that part and you'll see what I'm talking about. Verse 22 through 23. Are we here? And this is Jesus speaking on money and how not to be a slave to money. And I want to show you what he says here about the eye. So Marie, let's go to verse 22 and we'll look it down to 23. All right, so this is what Jesus says here. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. 23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then that light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Does anybody know what evil eye means here? Anybody familiar with that term, evil eye? Or your eye is bad here? Yeah.
It's something out of the Middle East. You're given something.
True.
The evil eye. It means you're staring at them with your, literally, your third eye. Listening to bad things.
Not quite, but that's a good shot. Good try. I'll take that.
Like greed?
Huh?
Kind of like being greedy?
There you go. You hit it. You hit it. So the evil eye was, it's Hebraism. It's a Hebrew way of saying a person that is stingy, basically. A person that can look on a person with need, have the financial means to help this person with the need, but yet they look at him and they say, no, I'm not helping you. That's the strap that's, oh, this person has an evil eye. Why? Because you see this person have need, but you're so greedy and you're thinking about yourself and you're not willing to meet that need because why? You're thinking about yourself. So the Hebrew way of calling this person out, you would say, oh, this person has an evil eye. Why do I say that? Because, again, Oftentimes in the Christian context, when we talk about our eyes and having covenant eyes, what are we often thinking about? Making sure I don't watch nothing wrong, right? I got to live righteously, so I'm going to live righteously by making sure I'm not watching any pornographic material, right? I'm going to live righteously by making sure that I'm not lusting after women. I'm going to live righteously by making sure I'm not watching inappropriate material. Do you see how we focus oftentimes on the not, what I'm not doing? But you also got to focus on, okay, how do my eyes look when I see somebody in need? Again, I keep going back to a person in need because that's what's clearly here. Yes, I want to focus on what I'm not looking at, but what about what I am looking at? When my eye does see this person need, how do I respond? See, that's the living in righteousness aspect that we have to look at and consider. What am I doing with my eyes? I know what I'm not doing with my eyes, but when my eyes does see something, what am I doing when I see this wrongdoing? What am I doing when I see this evil and this unjust thing happening? How am I using my eyes there? So again, it's not just what I'm not looking at, it's but what I am looking at, and when I do see something, how do I respond? So you got to ask yourself when you go throughout your days, what are you doing with your eyes? I know what you're not doing as a Christian. I know what you're trying not to do, but how are you using your eyes? Are you using them when you're seeing a need? Again, and you're seeing somebody hurting, you're seeing somebody that needs prayer. How are you responding when you see that? Are you turning your eye away, being like this evil eye and saying, nah, I don't got time for that? Or when my eye sees this thing, I'm going and I'm doing something righteous, right? What are we doing with our eyes? Another example would be, go with me to 1 John 3:17. Let's see how this person uses their eyes, right? Again, we're focusing on the eyes right now. How am I using my eyes? We know how we should not be using them. But how should we be using them? We hear 1 John 3:17. All right. This is how we want to use our eyes. The same example I've been giving you. But he says here, but whoever has this world's goods, and what? Sees. We're talking about our eyes again now, right? Sees. Okay. We already know what we should not be doing. I'm going to keep saying that with our eyes. But what are we doing? So I see his brother in need, and what? How does the love of God abide in him? So he's saying that person is not using his eyes right. You see that? Because he sees this person's in need, and he closes his heart up against them, then now his eyes are not being used in the right way, right? Because now he's doing a sin of what? Omission, right? He's not living righteously because he's not responding to his brother when he sees the need. You guys seeing that? Again, I'm just trying to show you different ways. What are we doing with our eyes? I know what we're not doing, but what are we doing with them? Let me give you another passage that's focusing on the eyes. Go with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 34. Are we here? All right, this is a very familiar passage, right? This talks about judgment. And this is the goats and the sheep. And I want you to key in on some things I'm going to point out here. With the eyes, with the hands, with the feet. Because we know how we should be using our, we know how we should not be using our hands, right? We don't want to use our hands to do violence, right? Just, you'll see, I want to point this out to you. Then the king will say to those on his right, are we here? Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. So if you're hungry, a person is hungry, and you gave them something to eat, what are you using? You're using your hands. Scott is with me today. There we go. So now you're using your hands in what?
Giving.
Righteousness, right? Remember the righteousness of the saints. So now you're using your hands righteously, right? I know how I shouldn't use my hands. I shouldn't use my hands to steal, right? I can use them in an unrighteous way where I'm stealing, which is that's something we'll focus on. But how am I using my hands in a righteous manner? Here, they're using their hands to meet somebody's need that's hungry. He says, there you go, okay. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, right? I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. How do we do that? Thank you. Follow me, guys. Hands. There we go. I was a stranger and you what? No, huh? I was a stranger and you what? Invited me in. Okay. Huh?
Again, using your hands.
No, but also being a stranger, you're inviting somebody in. You're coming to a person that could be using your feet in a sense. Let's go. You invited me in. Naked. And what happened? But to know a person is naked, you have to what? Huh? See, there you go. Now how am I using my eyes? There you go, son. My eyes. I'm just trying to show you. How are they using their eyes here? I see a need. What? I'm going to it. Right? This is us doing acts of righteousness with our eyes. Right? It's what I see and now I respond. Just trying to show you that. Okay. I was sick, and what? How do you visit people? With your feet. How am I using my feet now, right? In righteousness. Am I using my feet? Before, these feet was in line at the club like this, right? These feet were at the liquor store like, let me get a bottle of, I don't know, Hennessy, whatever, right? Before, these feet took me streets. Now how am I using my feet in righteousness? I know what I shouldn't be doing. I know I shouldn't be using these feet to club anymore, right? I know I shouldn't be using these feet to sell drugs anymore, right? I know that, but how should I use my feet? Now I should use my feet to what? What do you say? To visit those who are sick, right? Now he's showing me how to use my feet in righteousness. Now I'm using my feet to go and visit someone that's sick, right? Now I'm using them righteously. I was in prison, and guess what they did? You came to me. Now I'm using my feet in righteousness again. I got a brother or sister locked up in the pen. Now I'm using my feet, which used to be meant to go on unrighteousness. Now I'm using them to actually do action and do righteousness, to do righteous acts of the saints, to actually go and visit them while they're locked down, right? Again, I'm showing you this to show you how you can use all of your body for righteousness. These are the things we should be doing, right? I'm just trying to point that out here. All right? So he's using his feet. Let me pick up where I left off. Okay. Verse 39. When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, the least of them, you did it to me. I love how they said, when did we see you like this? And Jesus said, you did it to my brothers, the least of these, therefore you did it unto me. And he's showing us just here how righteousness looks with our body parts. So we looked at the eyes in this passage here. We looked at the feet. We looked at the hands. That's how I use them in righteousness, right? Let me go to another place for you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. This is back on the eyes. I'm going to go back to the eyes. The eyes is the key one. How am I using my eyes? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Paul says this. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Verse 4. Do not merely look. When you look, what are you using? Your eyes, okay? Out for your own personal interests, but also for what? The interests of others. So that's another way I can be using my eyes, right? I know how I not should be using them. I'm going to keep doing that. I know what I should not be looking at and how I should not be using these eyes, but I should be using these eyes in righteousness to look on the needs of my brothers and sisters to see, man, how's my brother Marcus doing? Is he good? Is there anything me and my wife could do to make sure he's good? Right? Oh, man, let's go check on Sister Debbie. How's she doing? Is she good? Like, do you see how I'm using my body parts differently? I'm using my time differently. Now I'm using them to do righteousness, not just to avoid certain things, but now I'm actually using activity in doing something righteous. So this is how we can begin to use our body parts to do these righteous acts. Let's give you another one. Let's go to Ephesians 4. That's all we're doing is going to scriptures. Again, we're just looking at different things to show you how to live righteously in ways you can live righteous. So Ephesians 4, verse 28. This is back to our hands. How should I use my hands? There you go. We here? Amen? All right. He who steals must steal no longer. We get that, right? As Christians, we understand that. Yes, we shouldn't be stealing, right? That's something we know that we should not be doing. But then how should I use my hands in? If I'm not going to use my hands to steal, how should I be using my hands? He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Oh, this is how I should be using my hands. I should not be using my hands to steal. But Paul is saying, in righteousness, I should be working with my hands so that I can have funds and the ability to help the person in need. Oh, that's how I live righteously. Oh, that's how these are the righteous acts. See, it's not this big spiritual thing, but it's really just being obedient to the word of God and doing what he says and not just so focused on what I should avoid. But again, what are you doing? How are you using these hands? Paul says we should use our hands to do good, to meet needs here. And if you go to the next verse, verse 29, see, in the same chapter, Ephesians 4, verse 29, the question is, how should I use my mouth? Right? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Okay, as Christians, I think we kind of know that, right? We try to focus on that. We make sure we don't curse, right? We make sure we use the right language, right? We speak Christianese. We get that, right? We focus and make sure I'm watching my mouth, I'm watching my tongue. Okay, I get what you don't do, but then how should I use this mouth in righteousness? Right? I know what I should avoid, but how should I use it? Look what he says here. Let no unwholesome words proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, meaning building somebody up, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So saints, how are you doing in this area? I get the potty words that you're trying to avoid, but are you using your mouth, are you using your tongue in righteousness by actually building somebody up when you speak to them? Ask yourself, on a regular, how do you do this often? Think about your day-to-day. Do you speak life to people? Do you encourage? Do you build up? How are you using your mouth, your tongue, in righteousness? It's not enough to say, I'm not using it to curse. Okay, that's great. Don't curse, but then how are you using it? Are you speaking the word of God to anybody? Are you speaking up prayers to the Lord on behalf of your brothers and sisters? How are you using your mouth and your tongue? Think about that on a regular basis. I did that yesterday and I felt embarrassed. I'm like, yes, I'm not saying and doing certain things, but I'm not really doing anything other than that. Now I'm just using my time for me and my family, but like, that really it? Think about that in your life. How are you using your mouth on a regular basis? What words are coming out of your mouth? Are you building people up? That's what edification is. I'm building you up. You are down. You are defeated. The enemy has you down. I'm going to come and speak life to you to build you up, to edify you in Jesus. Are you doing that, saints? you got to live righteously. This is part of it, how you use your mouth. Let's go to feet. Let's go to James. And this will be our last one, and then we'll go into prayer. We already talked about how we're using our feet, but I want to go here again. James chapter 1, verse 27. We hear, saints? Amen?
Amen?
James chapter 1, verse 27. How are we using our feet? All right. James says here in verse 27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit. How do we visit? Feet, modern days with our cars, right? Orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The last part, keep oneself unstained by the world, is what we often try to do, right? We try to make sure we're not doing certain activities. We're good at focusing on the last part of that verse. Yes, I need to keep myself holy, make sure I'm not doing certain things. We can focus on that, but what about the other part? I get what you're trying to not do. You don't want yourself stained by the world, but how are you using your feet to visit here to talk about orphans and widows and their distresses? But how are you doing in that area? Are you using your feet to go and visit people? Are you using your feet to go meet that person in distress? I didn't know if I was going to say this, but I think I am. So the people that whose names I'm going to mention, I'm going to say it just to say it. Scott and my grandmother, they live alone. Both of them really are not mobile. They don't have cars. My grandmother's by herself. Scott is his situation. Righteousness would be visiting your brother or sister. The ones, just think about the people in our church. Here, the orphans and the widows, in this, especially in the first century, they were in distress. The orphan would be in distress because they lost their parents and they have no one else, so they're stuck on their own in this first century world. They need to feed, they need food, they need clothing and shelter, so I'm sure they're in distress. This widow here in the first century world, it was really a man's world, if anything, especially during this period of time. Without her husband, it's going to be rough for her. She's in major distress on how she's going to take care of herself. So he's saying the right thing to do was actually to go visit these people in distress and to, I would say, to meet those needs. We don't have any orphans in our church, but we do have people that may be in distress, including Scott and my grandmother, who are by themselves, who it would be good to visit them, saints. So I'm just saying, like, these are acts of righteousness. You know there's a person that's by themselves. They don't get much visitation times. I'm going to go use my feet to be with that person. I'm going to go and have conversation with that person. I'm going to go speak to them. Why? Because I'm persuaded by Jesus. This is my brother or sister that's over here by themselves, and they may be in need. So I'm actually going to go over there and talk to them and be around them. That's how we can use our feet. I'm just trying to give you a really practical one. So all of these verses that I just went through was really just to encourage you to begin to look at Scripture differently and, yes, focus on the things that we should not do. Like, we want to keep ourselves unstained by the world. That is so true. Do not stop that. But also ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my mouth? What am I doing with my hands? What am I doing? I know what I'm not doing, but what am I doing? How am I living righteously? Right? Because I want you to be living righteous. I want you to be draped. I want you to have a ton of righteous acts when you stand before the Lord. Because you're doing these things that he's called out. And there were other verses that I didn't mention for the sake of time, but you can go to the whole Beatitudes about being merciful and meek. Like, putting that on. Like, how often when you go out in your day are you putting on meekness? Think about, Paul uses the analogies of, like, clothing and taking off things. Same thing with Revelation. It's the analogy of taking off and putting on. How much time do you give to putting on your clothes? Think about that. When you get dressed, you put on your clothes. If you're like me, you're going to make sure you match. You're watching what you, Sister Judy, you be sharp, so I know you'd know what you're doing. All right, she be matching down to her fingernails and her shoes. But think about the time that we take to put on our clothing. We're conscious of what we're doing. It should be the same way with righteousness. Thinking about, what am I putting on? Am I putting on meekness? Right? Am I putting on kindness? Like, look at myself, am I putting on humility? Like, these are the righteous things that we need to think about. Are we putting these on in our life? So, hope this encourages you, saints, because I know I was encouraged, but I really just wanted to read these verses with you so you can really consider and start thinking about the things that maybe you're not doing. Maybe those sins of omission, because you are failing to act when you should be doing certain things. So, let's end our time by, let me see, where are we with time? Oh yeah, I know it's rough in there probably for Sister Linda. Let's end our time here with prayer. Praying for our hands. I know, it's rough. Okay. All right, Sister Linda, you can come out. Just bring them out. Bring out the kids. Yeah, I know you've been in there for a while. We're just going to go into prayer. But let's pray for our hands, our mouth, our eyes, our feet, that we can use them in righteousness, right? So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God. Thank you for your instruction, Lord, God. And God, we want to live life that are pleasing to you, Lord, with all of our body parts, God. So help us to use these eyes, God, this mind, Lord, that you've given us, God, this heart, Lord, these feet, God, to live righteously, God, to do things, activities that are pleasing to your sight, Lord, God. Oh, God, that we may not use our time just thinking about us, God, but that we may use our eyes to look at the needs of our brothers and sisters, God, and to respond when we see that need, God. Oh, God, shape our hearts in that way, Lord, that it's more like yours, God, that it's a heart full of action, Lord. But also, God, keep us, Lord, away from the stains, the wickedness of this world, God. We don't want to stain our garments in any way, God. So watch over us, Lord. Keep us in that regard, God. And show us throughout your scripture as we go, Lord, just how to live righteously in the acts that we should be living on a day-to-day, God. This is our prayer, Jesus. We want to live holy and righteous as you did, God. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come before your throne, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.